and friends. Of course, I go by the name of the Kid, famous. You and I are tuned into the Tim and Friends Show. Hello, education, entertainment, coast to coast. Ball it up, call it entertainment. Let's get this started. Uncle Tim, let's start this show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
I know, it feels weird. The song, and yes, for the first time in a long time, I'm wearing a suit. That's right. Hoodies are gone, track pants are gone, at least for now. And all right, there's another thing. I also sit here without my work wife of the last 17 or so years. Sid Sixero has moved on to breakfast television, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are first overall in the National Hockey League, and they've lost two in a row, yet still lead the National Hockey League. Nothing in this world is sacred anymore. It all feels crazier than a Michigan coach whose team just can't get a rebound.
That's how I feel. Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out.
All right, at least he's a good-looking fella. Welcome to Tim McAuliffe and Friends of the Show. I'm Tim McAuliffe, and yes, it says Tim and Friends on all the graphics, but I'm gonna be honest. Tim and Friends might not be the greatest or most original name for a show. It's kind of like a lot of things here. It'll take some time getting used to. Tim and Friends. All right, so maybe it feels like I might be joined by Casey and Finnegan, or some purple dinosaur pops out of nowhere. Don't worry, I won't sing I Love You. I'm kidding. Listen, I'm pretty sure it's only Tim and Friends because we didn't have the budget to change the graphics too much, and because some douchebag left me hanging with a runway shorter than Alejandro Kirk. But like Captain Kirk, we will be mighty and well-rounded. Well-rounded. In actuality, I have no idea what this will be or how long it will last, but I do know this. I've got a great crew assembled around me. And I got a couple of books of ideas, and I've got you. And you have no idea how much I appreciate that. When Sid and I first sat down to do a podcast before podcasts were cool, I said to the audience, this will be whatever you want it to be. It'll be fun. We'll work really hard. We'll try and make it informative, and it'll be fun. Did I mention fun? And trusting in that audience, trusting in you, worked. A rinky-dink podcast that we started because our show got canceled turned into these top sports cast in the nation. The top podcast in the nation. In fact, we were rolling deep on the overall charts with guys like Bill Maher and Joe Rogan. Wait, what? Rogan got $100 million for his podcast? Oh, dear God. We went the wrong way. Okay, we had some success as a podcast, which begat a radio show, which begat a national TV show, which begat a finale that was the top three trends in Canada. Not in the top three trends, the actual top three trends in Canada. I'm proud of that. And I believe that that all came because we were talented and remarkably handsome, yes. But moreover, because we not only listened to the audience, but we let you be a part of the show like nobody ever had. And that's what we plan on doing again, starting right here and right now. So Tim and Friends, it is. And Tim and Friends is what it has been. This will no doubt be different. A little less screaming, a couple less rants, a little less belly laughs as well. But as a great man once said, I get by with a little help from my fans. That great man, of course, is Little Dicky. I think. No, maybe it was a little Yachty. Either way, I've been touched by how many people have reached out, how many people have helped out again, from famous to, as you will hear, the sheepdogs, and how many people who, despite the fact we're in the middle of this whole global pandemic thing and really can't see each other, at least here in Toronto, have reached out with a few words, a quick text or a tweet, a DM on IG, whatever. I kind of believe in karma. More to the point, I believe in being a good human being. And that the payback isn't some sort of money or fame for you or that some douchebag you hate gets canceled on the internet. I believe that the payback comes in the form of olive branches. It's that team that runs over to help you up, arms extended after a hard foul or when you trip on your way to the end zone, to help you get back on your feet and fight another day. And man, the team I have with me and around me here at Sportsnet is full of those people. And I am so incredibly grateful. I couldn't be prouder to fire it up again with them. Did I envision starting this thing over at 45 with a wife and two kids in the middle of that global pandemic? Hell to the no.
Hell no, to the no, no, no.
Preach. Preach. But here we are. And as we've learned in the past year, it's not what happens to you, it's how we respond to it. And we're ready to go. This isn't a facade to me. Fame and fortune were never my goals, and good thing, because I have really neither. I love talking sports. I love sports. I love thinking sports, playing sports. It's me. I'm a sports dude. Always have been, always will be. I didn't even watch Oprah, Harry, and Meghan. It's not me. I've also done almost every gig in this business, from highlights and dropping hip-hop lyrics to fighting cabbie in the street to covering Super Bowls and doing play-by-play in the CFL, National Lacrosse League, and over 30 national championships. Like I said, it's not a facade. I don't need makeup to play this role. Maybe a little on this fat, bald head of mine. And I believe that this new thing will show exactly that, that we love sports. We will employ the very best that Sportsnet has to offer in front and behind the camera to bring you in-depth stories, analysis, and angles that hopefully you've never seen before. I will call on my friends in the building and my friends beyond the building to bring you something that hits on many different levels and on many different platforms, from tonight's games to the business of sport to the inner workings of sport, and we will do it with all of the same passion that Tim and Sid brought to the table every damn show. I get it. For many of you, Tim and Sid was a part of your life, and this will have to be different. And we will eventually get to that point. Sid and I also eventually knew that we didn't want to be known as any one thing, because we knew in doing that we would be pigeonholed. But Tim and Sid was just so damn fun. I laughed so damn much, and it's so rare that you can do that 5 days a week for a career. They ended up trading the jack-of-all-trades career for all of that fun, and I'm so cool with the decision. And listen, the success you guys brought us with that decision was wonderful, but success can be seductive, more seductive than Blanche Devereaux on The Golden Girls.
Oh, I do declare. Your sweet words could charm the morning dew right off the honeysuckle.
Oh, Blanche. We are starting to see that around this business, a career in this thing can't be achieved without a healthy dose of luck and a ton of support from the fans of the show, the people who consume it, you. So as I start this new journey, I put my faith in your hands, exactly as I did when we started the podcast, exactly as I did when we began a radio show, and I do it all over again. I hope to give you what you had before. I hope you give us a chance, and I hope you enjoy it. But as always, we won't wish for it. We'll work for it. This is Tim and Friends. Just so you know what we were thinking, most days will start with me. It'll look a lot like what you just saw without the self-indulgent explanations. You and I will talk about the news of the day, the hot stories, and the stories not enough people are talking about. We will set the table for some serious sports talk and some not-so-serious sports talk. I still believe in edutainment. I'm going to introduce the show's digital producer a little later on because I can't read your tweets and host at the same time. At least I can't do it without being terrible. And even with the digital producer, well, but your interaction at Tim and Friends on Twitter and Instagram will still be a huge part of what we do. I will have two co-hosts on most days. They will roll in, bring their passion and knowledge, and many times their stories that they are working on. And we will reintroduce roundtable conversations in an attempt to bring you that edutainment each and every day. All right, I think it was Confucius or Little Dicky again who said, the superior man is modest in his speech but exceeds in his actions. So we, the men and women around this show, will start with actions instead of all this nonsense of me talking. That's right. Enough babbling from your humble narrator. To quote Daffy and Bugs. This is International Women's Day, which is remarkably important to me, and we will tackle some of the issues of the day and, just as importantly, the triumphs of the day. Yes, it's important to be an ally, and I hope we've been that for years here. It's important to believe in and advocate for and listen to. But man, do I also like to celebrate. So we will celebrate International Women's Day with a goat of the industry who had to face it all just to get her rightful spot, one that not many people envisioned 20 years ago, never mind 50. Doris Burke coming up. Okay, I'm still getting to Tim and Friends. And Doris, of course, is a friend of the show for sure. But for my first show, I had to turn to one of my closest friends in the business, a man who helped us turn the podcast I was talking about into something the rest of the stiff sports world at the time had to take notice of. When they decided to name this show Tim and Friends, a lot of folks jumped to mind that I would like to have on. Cabby, Kenny Reed, Arash June, Brunt, Blair, Carolyn, Colby, Grange, Spearsy, Jonesy, Smitty, Morosi, Davidi, BNS, Passon, Amber, Friege. You get the point. But given the spot, there was one guy that it had to be. A nod to the future, but also a tip of the cap to the past. The show in a nutshell. I met my first friend of the show when he was playing football at Western, but I really got to know him when I used to pick him up at his mom's house in East Toronto, drive him to our work on broadcasts of the very same OUA and CIS football games he used to play in, then worked on. Then we would drive all across Ontario, chopping it up with a select few in my truck about how we would change the game if given the chance. Then about 10 to 14 hours later, I would drop him off at his grandfather Clifton's for a little late Saturday night dinner after the Mongolian Grill, of course. Inside joke, just for me and him, and a few others that are working behind the scenes. Here to help with the maiden voyage some 15 years later is the first friend of the show in many respects. Donovan Bennett, welcome back, homie.
Wow. I mean, wow. All the people said amen, and amen said all the people. I was, like, sitting in church, speaking of my grandfather Clifton. That was a Baptist speech that you gave all of us, so thank you on behalf of the congregation, that is the Timmins Citizens. But then it turned into, I was sitting in church like, is this my eulogy? Like, did I die? What is he talking about? So thank you for extending this honor to me.
Did it make sense?
Well, I have lots of questions, because that's what I do, because right. I ask people questions. Yeah. So can I roll through?
Did you write some down while I was going through all of that?
I was here for 15 minutes. So yeah, I wrote them down.
I apologize.
I tried to type quietly, because Canada didn't know I was here yet.
Understood.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yes, please.
Is that cool?
Yes, please.
Normally in church, there's a little bit of a call and response. It's a back and forth between the sermon.
Right.
So, Little Yachty and Little Dicky? Like, we have so many littles, great littles.
Uh-huh.
Little Wayne, Little C's, Little B, Little Uzi Vert, Little Peep, Little Dirk.
Yep.
And the best little right now, as you know, is Little Baby,
right,
who's going toe-to-toe with Da Baby for the title with,
of
obviously,
baby.
Drake.
Yeah.
But Little Yachty and Little Dicky, really?
I figured, have you been watching Dave lately? It's a really good show. Have you seen Dave?
I haven't, no.
No. I figured... If you're gonna quote the Beatles and then go another way, you probably go ironic on it, no?
Okay, yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And anytime you can say Dickie on TV, people will chuckle, I think.
Shout out to R.A. I get that. I'm just saying, you only have one first impression. This is not your first impression, because this is not
and if
you.
If I'm going to rank Lil's, and by the way, you calling it Little. It's not Little. It's Lil, all right? I go Lil Wayne.
Okay.
And a little baby's coming up real fast.
Apologies for enunciating. My bad.
it's spelled Lil. L-I-L.
Tim and Friendsins, is that what we're calling them? Tim and Friendsins, can you please rank the littles for us in ascending order? So that's one.
Ascending order.
Two, we can afford a Notorious B.I.G. drop? Like, how much did this guy make that all of a sudden... we can afford a Notorious B.I.G. drop? Like, Who got that through the budget? Where is the Oracle receipt that made that a thing?
Can you... The Oracle receipt. Get out of here.
Okay, so maybe it sounds like we didn't pay for it. So maybe we should take this off.
All right,
of
next,
the on-demand
next
version.
Question.
Speaking of drops, where's my soundboard? Like, what? Did he take the iPad with him? I can't make an impact on the show by dropping some sound. Talked about OG status and things I did before. I brought the sounds originally. I was the first selecta, and I now I can't even.
Heal up, wheel up, bring it back from the wine.
Thank you. Right? I appreciate that.
You can have that. You can have that.
Can we get some disinfectant wipes?
Oh, right? Yeah, we should probably do that, yeah. My bad.
So that's...
I got too comfortable.
That's one. We talked about Tim and Friends' sins. We'll workshop it. It's tough to get all those characters into a hashtag. Who came up with the name? Like, talk us through the name. Because that was, like, as hotly debated was who... The co-hosts were going to be, and like, yes, you can stop tweeting me and tweeting my family members asking if I'm going to be the co-host. We can stop that now. Who came up with the name?
Can I be honest with you?
It's your show. You can do whatever you want. It's literally yours. Now. Your name's on it.
An executive came to me with an idea, and I said, if you say Tim and Friends, I'm going to puke. And they said Tim and Friends. And then we went through this exercise where we went through a bunch of different names of the show. And guess where it ended up? Coming up on Tim and Friends, Donovan is a friend of the show. It's really Tim and Friends of the show.
Oh.
That's really what it is. It's Tim and Friends of the show.
Well,
that's
I'm just looking at the graphics. I don't see.
Well, I'll write it in with a pen. Never mind.
That would be good, though, if it's like scribbled underneath. I'm not trying to give Maui more work, but I'm just saying.
It's also International Women's Day, and I couldn't think of a better friend of the show to talk about the glass ceilings and how you smash through them. Our first ever guest here on Tim and Friends is a giant of the industry. I can't even say it. That's how bad the name is. In part because most folks, even if you are a misogynistic pig, understand, I hope you're not, but even if you are, understand just how hard it was for her to get to the top. Her rightful place, Doris Burke, and plenty more still ahead on this first ever edition of Tim and Friends
of the show.
I have more questions.
Look out, here comes Scheifele on a breakaway. Mark Scheifele in, he deeks, he scores.
Wilson came up high on Carlo there. Tom Wilson will not appeal his 7-game suspension.
I think it's a kind of joke. I don't think it was even like 2 minutes.
That's where it's headed, and it makes it easily, easily.
It has indeed become the must-see moment in golf, Bryson DeChambeau.
My inspiration is Doris. I think she's a stunning woman, incredible at what she does.
Thank you for that intro, because I'm serious, you got me choked up.
Happy International Women's Day. Coming up next, my dad introduces the GOAT, Doris Burke.
Welcome back to the first ever Tim and Friends, taking you through to 6:30 Eastern on Sportsnet and right through to 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Tim McAuliffe. Donovan Bennett is one of my friends. Still to come, Danielle Michaud is my other friend. Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets will stop by, but as both my daughter and I have mentioned, it is International Women's Day, and when I think of the triumphs of in our field for women, she might not be at the head of the class, but if she isn't, it sure don't take long to call the roll. From her days on the court for Providence, where she still holds the school record for career assists, to her current status as one of the GOATs of sports broadcasting, Doris Burke has long been paving the way.
I have the best job in the world for somebody who loves the game.
The first woman in a national role as a regular NBA color analyst. The first woman in the booth as a game analyst for the NBA Finals. A Basketball Hall of Fame inductee, all because of her impeccable ability to connect with basketball fans from all walks of life.
I play a little bit.
Do you?
I could check your left hand.
I know. I'm not going to deny it.
Cold start, what'd you see?
Well, we didn't score.
I think it's in my best interest, Mike, to leave it at that. Mike.
My inspiration. inspiration is Doris. I think she's a stunning woman, incredible at what she does. I love Doris with all my heart, you know, so hopefully she knows that she's woman crush every day. That's why I wore the shirt.
I do like being right. Ask my ex-husband.
Happens every time.
As we celebrate International Women's Day, it only makes sense to talk with someone who has blazed an indelible trail and reimagined what's possible for women in broadcasting.
Praise be to Doris.
Praise be to Doris.
Sweet.
So awesome. An important day, an important month. And before the break in that piece, Doris, I called you one of the goats of the industry because you are one of the goats of the industry. And I want to get to your journey, but it's been like over a year since we've had you on the show, and what a bleeping year it has been. So before we get to the rest of this, how are you doing? How are you feeling these days? How are you?
Well, incredibly well. You guys got me choked up, sort of that video montage. My gosh, I forgot about President Obama. You know what? I'm doing really well, as well as anyone can be doing right now. Obviously, we've all made adjustments. We've all been through a lot. But I am thankful that I have a job, that I continue to work, because so many here in this country, and I'm sure and yours, are without work. I don't think we've begun to feel the financial implications of COVID-19 and all the ways it's impacted life in general, in the short term, in the long term, and in the intermediate term, but exceptionally well. And thank you for that intro, because I'm serious. You got me choked up.
Well, I mean, I've been able to see you in arena and see the love that many people have for you in arena. And so for people who don't know, pregame, lots of kids are around the court looking for autographs. When Doris is in the building, people are looking for her autograph. The fact that you, with your coverage and your spirit for the game, as a woman, is someone that is so adorned. What does that mean to you?
Well, that's been a little bit of a process because, you know, when I first started in particular on men's college basketball and then early in my time as an NBA analyst, there were people who it was foreign to their ear and some flat out objected to it. You know, I think the thought was, what could a woman possibly know about this game? You know, why would she be in that chair? And so that's been a gradual process, to be perfectly honest with you. And I've said along the way, it's been the men that I have covered. And that's college basketball, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Jim Calhoun, all the college players I've covered over the years, and then going on to the NBA. There have been little shifts along the way where a comment by a coach or a particular player showing respect to me in a variety of different environments have had a very powerful effect on, you know, the casual fan. And it's helped to change the attitude about my acceptance in the role in particular as an analyst. And it's wonderful to be liked. It's a lot nicer to be liked than not liked. And I think the thing that I most enjoy about my job is sharing the game I love with people who love it as much as I do. And that is the fans, right? They're spending their time and their hard-earned money to go into those buildings, to pay attention to shows like yours and, you know, talk shows and this show and that show. And so I think we connect on the game. The game has shaped my life since I was 7 years of age. So it's been an incredible journey, and I'm glad it continues. And I'm definitely on the back nine of my career. I don't know when it is, but I can see it out there.
No.
At some point. So we'll see how it goes.
No, it's as you're saying what you're saying, it's almost hard to fathom the struggle when I think of the now near universal love that you get from Drake to Pop to Obama, all points in between. And I'm not saying that you don't hear from the haters, too, because we all hear from the haters. But how do you come to grips with that near universal love when I know you had to go through it to get there? Like, it wasn't an overnight success, as some people want to point to. Does it feel weird? Does it feel bittersweet, given the hurdles and how many people stood in your way along the way?
Yeah, no, you know, listen, I think all of us overcome a variety of obstacles. First of all, you know, there's the long process of learning how to do your job and to do it well, and all of the failures along the way. You know, there are distinct moments that I fell down on the job, which are, you know, you look back and you think, well, that probably helped me to get better, but at the same time, it was painful. I can think of my most painful moment. It was a St. John's men's basketball game early in my career as an analyst. And because it was on what would be now considered ESPNU, you know, we didn't have the, you know, the level of support and, you know, all the bells and whistles and the sideline reporter. So as the analyst, I got up to interview a young man. He was 18 years of age, and I never asked him a question. That was my job, to ask him questions, and I didn't. And I put him in a tough spot. He didn't respond well. We both didn't come out of the interview looking very good. And it was one of those moments where you just say, well, I'm never going to do that to an 18-year-old kid again. I will be better with my questions. And so, you know, like, and here's the thing I say about haters. It's so funny to me that the noise or the nastiness is always for the team that lost, you know, like I have nothing to do with the wins and losses. I can celebrate the wins. I can try to explain why one team is losing, but I have absolutely nothing to do with it. So listen, I think, and I've said this often, and I don't, you know, young women today, they seem much more poised when they enter the field. They seem much more comfortable and prepared to compete. I don't know if social media was around at this formation of my career, if I would have been, I'm a pretty tough kid, but I don't know that I would have been tough enough to endure some of the things that happened on social media, you know, when I was 27 versus 55, that's for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we've obviously come a long way, but there's still, in my opinion, a long way to go. We have on days like this, these panels and these talks, and I'm outcome driven. So I'm reticent to put, you know, the burden on the oppressed to find the solutions for the oppressor. But you've thought a lot about this topic. What are some easy steps that we could make right now to help with some of the inequities that women face in sport?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I think the first point you made is a significant one, that we are not there yet, right? And I look at the progress here in the United States in the end of 20 and the start of 21. So Stacey Abrams had such a positive, you know, I think positive effect on access to voting, which in turn changes the election in the state of Georgia, which in turn changes the results of the presidential election in the United States. I cannot say enough, Madam Vice President. It brings me to tears almost every time I say it. We have a woman, and on top of that, a minority woman in the vice presidential office. Like, I can't stop beaming about that. I now look at somebody like Renee Montgomery, who becomes the first WNBA player to crack the ceiling of ownership. It is the year of the African-American woman in the United States, and I hope across the world, because really, you know, sometimes I used to do this all the time. I think in answer to your question, I would say we all need to widen our lens. We need to widen our lens and get outside of ourselves and be, you know, have good ears and good eyes and pay attention and educate ourselves. I used to complain that women in the United States of America made 82 cents on the dollar. And that in turn had an effect on my ability to educate my children well, to save for retirement, to buy a house in a better neighborhood. Name all the implications that 18 cents had over the course of my 35 to 40 year career and how influential that was. But I was myopic, right? It took me hearing Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion on a program they had on ESPN to recognize how much worse minority women had it in the United States of America. Black women at the time, I believe, were at 65 cents on the dollar. And if you were of a Latinx background, then it was even worse than that. I think we need to broaden our perspective and to have open eyes and open ears and to educate ourselves, because that's the fact of the matter. Like, and I've said this to my children, the only thing that changes our lives really significantly, and I don't just mean school, the thing that's most powerful to change our lives is education. And so can we broaden access and change at the most basic of levels? But I do see progress, and I'm going to elect to be cheerful, because we need to be cheerful in 21.
No question. And the congregation said amen.
Yes, the congregation did say amen on that. I believe firmly in if you can see it, you can be it. Did you see all this when you started in our industry?
Oh, my gosh. No, I laugh all the time. Number one, I was terrified of public speaking. I had bad hair, bad clothes, bad teeth, and bad skin. I go back to this all the time when I was a kid. The only thing I cared about in college was getting a jump shot to match my dribble drive ability. It never occurred to me that I could be an announcer. By the grace of God, you know, I left coaching at Providence College, and they put their women's basketball program on radio for the first time. And that was in 1990. And it's been small incremental steps along the way. And I always tell young broadcasters, there's no small job. You know, I was the New York Liberty radio announcer in 1997. Nobody was listening. I mean, if somebody turned us on in the car in New York City, they'd probably turn it right off. Who was listening to the WNBA on radio? But I was honing my skills back then and learning to be impactful in a very short space, you know, end line to free throw line or end line to half court. I would have never dreamed of it. And nor would I. Listen, I got really lucky in terms of timing. And I mean that all along the way. Coverage of women's basketball was starting to explode at the time I entered the business. Right. And on top of that, there were greater calls for diversity and differing perspectives. And it took some really, I don't want to use the word courageous because I am talking about, I'm a sports broadcaster, like really, it, ultimately, how important is that? But there were men along the way who were in hiring positions and were willing to take a chance and put me in unexpected places. And you have to have that willingness to do that. It's why I always say change takes everybody. Change takes everybody. If you're talking about, you know, changing things for women, men have got to be involved. If you're talking about changing things for people of color, white people have got to be involved. These are facts.
I'm sure you get to ask this all the time, but if there are young women watching, hell, anyone who is trying to blaze a trail, be first or feel like they are among the first and are the ones that are being looked at in the room to carry a burden or a load, what's your best piece of advice? And what's the best piece of advice you got as you were doing it?
I would say don't ever think of it in that context, because that would have scared the absolute Jesus out of me if I had ever considered it in that light. Listen, the fact of the matter is I am passionate about the game of basketball. I remain a student of the game. Like, I am learning every single night I turn on the NBA because the game evolves quickly and it continues to evolve. So I would say that I have never consciously acknowledged those moments where I may have, quote, been the first, because if I did, I think the weight of that would have bothered me. Now, somebody else may feel totally different about that, right? Like, you know, I just referenced those three African-American women, in a prior answer. And I had read recently that there was a study done to suggest that African-American women are more likely to aspire to the highest levels across fields. And I found that quite fascinating. And I would love to dig a little bit deeper into it when I have more time. But is it because of the obstacles they've had to overcome? Whatever the case may be, there's innate strength there in that community because of all. I have no idea. I just saw it and I was captivated by it. So one, I wouldn't think of it in that context. And two, I would just say, you know, be prepared to have a lot of no's thrown your way. You guys know this because you've probably been turned down as much as you've had success. Those are facts. You know, I've failed more often than I've succeeded, that's for sure.
You know, women are normally, historically, the leaders of most revolutions. And I was a bit annoyed that the NBA players got so much publicity during the bubble, because the WNBA players have been doing that for the history of the league. And so you're now on a list with, you know, Michelle Obama and Billie Jean King and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Serena Williams as one of those women that inspire others. And so as we leave, brag a little bit. Who are the women that inspire you?
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a person that my daughter and I, and my daughter is not a sports fan in any way, shape, or form. She's an attorney here in Philadelphia. And And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is somebody that, you know, as you read her history and how much or how profoundly she has influenced every woman in the United States of America, whether we're, you know, conscious of it or not, I would say she is right at the top of the list in terms of my own, you know, the field I am in. You know, Jackie McMullen has been an example for me, because I want you to picture this. You know, it's press row. It's the 1980s, early 80s. And there's one woman sitting along, you know, the great Bob Ryan, and name an NBA writer over the history that we're familiar with. And there's Jackie McMullen sitting next to Red Auerbach. And if you've ever watched Jackie operate inside an NBA arena, there's a level of respect given to Jackie because of her quality of her work and the level of professionalism she has always displayed. You know, I'm not naive to the fact that women who came before me paid a price that I didn't have to pay. And so, like, I'm always appreciative of the Robin Roberts, the Jackie McMullens, the Gail Gardners, and those women who made my life easier, that's for sure.
Sometimes you just get to talk to cool people doing this job. Jackie came in here, felt the same way. Doris, we love talking basketball with you. Some conversations are a little more important than basketball, so we wanted to do this with you on this day. Promise me, though, you'll come back and you'll talk some basketball with us after the second half of the season.
I hope, and I know the rest of the regular season has been determined in Tampa. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on your show, you know, like, I love the passion of the Raptors fans. And so my hope is by the time the playoffs roll around, we are back in NBA arenas. And if that's the case, I will come find you guys in your office. All right.
Thank you so much. And thank you for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Wow. What a woman. It's fitting that we have that convo today, because today Canada Basketball launched the Mad Love campaign to recognize girls and women on International Women's Day and beyond. The first phase of the campaign features letters written by senior women's national team players that challenge and change perceptions of girls and women's basketball.
You can read the letters and find out more on basketball.ca or at CanBball on Twitter. Got it? At CanBball on Twitter, and we will discuss it more on Thursday when the head coach of the senior women's national team, Lisa Tomitas, will join us here on Tim and Friends. Coming up next, making their long-awaited debut, it's Meghan, Harry, and Oprah. Kidding. I don't know any of them. Not sure I want to. And I don't even have the poll if I did. But almost as impressive, we will introduce our digital producer for the day, get some feedback on our conversation with Doris, and get your reaction to the start of the new show. Welcome back to Tim and Friends. And one of those friends is this man, Donovan Bennett, who joins me for the first hour. Our homegirl, Danielle Michaud, will jump in that chair, freshly clean, wiped down. Not saying anything about you, DJ. But she'll join us for the second hour of the show. And because there is no Sid, I will no longer have time to sort through the tweets and interactions during the show, unless the audience likes awkward silence. So we decided to bring someone in to do that, kind of a role that Donovan once upon a time did in the podcast. We had no budget for an outside hire, and with all the COVID protocols in place, we can't really bring in a different person every day, which could have been some fun. So our team did this thing where we just asked the most deserving person in the building if she or he wouldn't mind stepping in. Just 8 years of hard work in the building, and someone who I trust said that this person might be the best teammate in the building. Good enough for me. Now, this will change based on availability and COVID protocols in the city of Toronto, crazy but true. But our first digital producer for day one is Jesse Rubinoff.
Yeah. Hey. Here we go now. Hey, here we go now. Hey. Here
we go now. I did not know that was coming. I did not know you were going to say, trying to make me cry on day one.
Also the best looking guy in the building.
No, come on.
Look at that hair.
I had to drive up north, okay? This wasn't a haircut from Toronto. I had to go up north to get this. Look,
if you're worried about the applause, we're only allowed 4 people in the room. Like, so when you hear the goal.
Yeah, well, I'm sweating because of the applause and I have all this pressure on me. There have been plenty of tweets coming, obviously. Oh, nice. Day one of Tim and Friends. And I have some news to report. We are number three trending in Canada, Tim and Friends. So is that another applause or what? There we go.
Yes.
Tim and Friends, right behind International Women's Day and Kim's Convenience and above Burger King, but we're not going to go there today. So
we're
let's
ahead of
check
Queen
in.
Elizabeth too. I saw that.
Yeah. Well,
shout out. You know what I'm saying?
If we can bring just a little, like maybe half as much heat as Meghan, Harry, and Oprah last night, the show is going to be okay. So speaking of tweets, we've had a lot flooding in today, and let's start with how about Sarah Nurse?
Oh,
Canada
nice.
Olympic medalist Sarah Nurse. We love this Tim and Friends debut. Couldn't miss it. Tim and Friends, Tim McAuliffe. Look at that. Looking sharp.
That fat head.
Look at that suit.
I mean, she cropped me out of her photo for some reason, but whatever. That's fine. Okay,
sir. Well, wait. You got love coming. You got love coming, Deej.
I kid.
EDT549. Tim and Friends, good to see you back in studio. Kind of weird seeing Tim without a hood on. And it was a long year. It was a long year of
work. I miss
sweats.
It too. Trust me, EDT. I miss it too. In fact, I think we should do casual Fridays. I'm not lying.
Well, I mean, I did casual Mondays.
So. Well, but for a reason. I love that hoodie and I couldn't get it. I literally couldn't get it. Where'd you get it? You got a hookup?
Listen, you don't talk about the Connect online.
Right, yeah.
The Connect stays the Connect by not talking about the Connect.
Yeah, I mean, my unforgivable mistake already was not checking with DJ on what he was wearing earlier, the wardrobe king.
When you have that face, it doesn't matter what you wear.
Oh, okay. All right. So Raps Fan Sherry tweets, Tim and Friends.
Old school. Nice.
DJ, there's your love. This is the first friend I wanted by your side, the well-dressed, golden voice singing, cinnamon heart-eating, cut or uncut, Mr. Donovan Bennett.
Oh, man. And, shout out to the cut or uncut. Love that.
Yeah. Okay,
you know what?
You know a thing or two about cut or uncut, DJ?
Just a little bit.
From back in the podcast days, he was the one that came up with it. So we have a lot of cut or uncut to get to today. And let's begin with, I don't know, we're going to make it an All-Star Weekend edition, NBA All-Star.
Oh, nice. Like that.
And James Harden, his outfit last night had the internet abuzz, I would say. People comparing it to a poncho.
Oh, boy.
Someone said it looks like he's prepping to go on the Maid of the Mist. That was actually digital producer Maddie Morgan who gave me that one. So I pose the question to you, Tim and DJ. James Harden's outfit, whatever this is supposed to be, cut or uncut?
Donovan?
It's cut. We don't ask me silly questions. This is obviously cut. He is pajama rich. He has so much money that he can go out in public looking like a fool. But this is where we are with the NBA. Listen, when you're wearing fashion stuff that's on the runway 5 years from now, it's not a good look. Cut.
Cut. I'm with him. It does look like he's going on the Maid of the Mist. That is wonderful. All it needs is the hood to pull up over top. That's a pair of cuts from Tim and Donovan.
All right, we got two cuts. Let's move on to the next one. The questionable fits did not stop once the players hit the floor. Not sure what the NBA was going for with the yellow and blue jerseys that Team Durant and Team LeBron sported on the floor. Some have said they look like if IKEA and Best Buy were playing against each other in an All-Star game, some comparing it to a gas station logo at your local gas station. So cut or uncut the All-Star jersey.
This was Indianapolis, right? Like they made these for Indianapolis?
Oh, that's interesting because the game was supposed to be in Indianapolis.
So these are racers.
But it moved to Atlanta. See, I actually have a different take.
The race car number is the number in the circle on the lower half of the jersey. I think this was for Indianapolis.
Interesting. But see, my educated guess was like, didn't know there's gonna be an All-Star game, super late. The project manager's like, we need something quick. But if you look at the colors, there are jewel tones, which are in right now. Obviously, you see the emerald green.
Mm.
You
see we're going deep here.
The sapphire blue,
what's
right?
What's this guy talking about?
The citrine yellow. Not sure if that's how you pronounce it.
All right, one more. Look at, shut him up.
Is that,
but,
that's
but no, HBCUs, they have jewel tones.
Oh, okay.
Grambling
there
yellow, Howard blue. I thought that was the play.
All right.
So
I cut you
I'm
off
cut.
Before you get to the historically black colleges. Nice start, McAuliffe.
That's
do you have one
analysis
more?
You get on
or are we done?
Yeah, we got one more. We got
right,
more. So LeBron, obviously no stranger to long hashtags. He's done it before, and he did it again. After last night's game, Bron tweeting finally got to share the floor with Steph Curry, well overdue, and loved every single second. Hashtag greatest shooter of all time. Hashtag change how the game is played by himself alone. Hashtag respect beyond words. Hashtag just some kids born in Akron. I'm getting tired just reading this. LeBron cut or uncut?
Hashtag three letters, cut.
Hashtag cut, hashtag we gotta go. Donovan, thank you for being the first guest of the show. Great debut, Jesse, we appreciate it. Donovan, will you come back?
Have your people contact my people.
I know you got a lot of other stuff going on, so. All right, thank you, my dude. Okay, if we aren't on PVR or podcast, can you do us the honor of sticking around through the commercials? Like, I know it's 2021, but we all got to eat, all right? In return, on this premiere edition of Tim and Friends, I will present Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets and Danielle Michaud of Sportsnet. Stick around, please. It's actually my livelihood. Job, guys.
Mine too.
Sports Talk with Tim McAuliffe and friends of the show.
Thank you, Sheepdogs. Again, there's talk in the Tim and Friends group chat already that this song is better than the old one. At Tim and Friends on Twitter, let us know if these folks are crazy. Is the song actually better? Carl Turnbull writes into the show, Tim and Friends now have their own Canadian version of Tony Reale in studio. I think that's you, Jess. I think they're talking about you, Jesse. Either way, thank you for being with me on today's first show, and thanks to Donovan Bennett for stopping by in hour number one. Coming up, hour number two, Danielle Michaud joins me on the desk, or she may have already. Jets Mark Scheifele will join us live in about 15 minutes as the Jets get set. It's protocols. You understand. She's sitting right there right now. Don't worry about it. Leafs three straight against the Jets starting tomorrow. But first, we get to the starting lineup in 6 p.m. Eastern. The NBA is quiet after All-Star Sunday. Six games in the NHL tonight. Two in the North coming off of the win in a Battle of Alberta. Saturday night, the Edmonton Oilers play the first of another three-game set. Theirs comes against the Sens tonight at Rogers Place. Oilers sit just a point behind the second-place Jets, while the Sens are 5 points back of Vancouver for last in the North. You can see it regionally on Sportsnet. West at 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain. While in Vancouver, the Canucks have won back-to-back games for the first time in over a month. Both wins came against the first-place Maple Leafs. Tonight, the Canucks will try to make it three straight as they take on what has become their arch nemesis, Tyler Toffoli and the Habs, a team they've already lost 4 of 5 against this year. With more on that game, which you can see regionally on Sportsnet Pacific, let's head live to Vancouver and check in with Dan Murphy. Dan, thank you for doing this.
Tim, anytime. Nice to see you're unshackled, unburdened, free of dead weight, and able to have friends now that Sid is gone. But yes, you are correct. The Vancouver Canucks, they haven't been sharp against the Montreal Canadiens. In those five games, the Habs have scored at least 5 goals per game. Incredible. And that was before they made a coaching change. It was also before the Vancouver Canucks really found their defensive game. And that's been happening over the past 5 weeks or so. And Thatcher Demko is a big part of that as well. I don't know if you keep track of some of the statistics beyond save percentage and goals against average. But one is goals saved above expectations. And it factors in rebounds, rush chances, odd man situations. And Demko right now, according to Sports Logic, who Sportsnet has a relationship with, is third in the entire National Hockey League behind only Vasilevsky and Marc-Andre Fleury. So he has been excellent, but it also says that Canucks still might be hanging out to dry just a little bit.
Dan, I got to follow up with Demko because it seems like the key to the season heading in was the revamped defense corps and the goalie. Does it feel like Vancouver has found their number one goalie in Thatcher Demko? I mean, asking him what he did during the bubble is just above and beyond. But if you get steady goaltending in Vancouver, I think this team's good.
Yeah, the question is whether or not the hole they've dug is too big. And right now, it kind of seems that way. They've played more games than anyone in the North. But certainly, he is the number one right now. The workload would absolutely say that Travis Green is going to him more often. His numbers are far better than what Holtby's have been. So if they went into the season with a 1A and a 1B, he has certainly grabbed the number one role. And he's going to have to be good, too, because there are just so many of these former teammates of him. You mentioned Toffoli that have been doing the Canucks since the start of the season. It wasn't just that they were losing to the Habs. They were losing the Habs and Tyler Toffoli with eight goals in five games played against them. So there's a lot of former Canucks that have been haunting this team. They got a little revenge on Markstrom recently. They kind of got revenge on Manny Malhotra and the Leafs power play on Thursday and Saturday. Let's not forget, there's another former Canuck coming in with the Montreal Canadiens this evening. That guy right there, who's now running the Montreal Canadiens power play, which has scored in three consecutive games. So Alex Burrows perhaps looking to haunt his former team as well as the Canadiens are in town.
Murph, great catching up with you. I hear you're cutting your own hair just like me. Yours looks a little better.
I'm not going to turn around. I don't have a mirror back there.
Oh, nice. All right, be well, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
There is Dan Murphy in Vancouver. A fitting announcement on International Women's Day is the NWHL announcing they'll finish their shortened season nearly 2 months after the league suspended its playoffs in Lake Placid due to COVID breakouts. The semifinals in the Isabel Cup will be played starting March 26th without fans just outside of Boston. Tom Wilson was suspended 7 games over the weekend for the hit on Brandon Carlo, or at least the hit on Brandon Carlo's head. No penalty called on the play. Carlo is going to miss time. Wilson will as well. Suspension is the 5th since September of 2017. He's now been suspended for 30 games and has forfeited over $1.2 million of salary in his career. As captain Alex Ovechkin was asked about the suspension.
I think it's a kind of joke because we were talking to reps and after the first period, and she said, like, I don't think it was in even like 2 minutes. It was a hard hit. The player get hurt, like, it sucks. But I think when you play hockey, I think you have to be ready for that. And you have to know, like, who's on the ice.
Respect and love, Ovi, but couldn't disagree more. To basketball, the Raptors fans south of the border can watch their team from the north once again in person. Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay, the Raptors' Florida home, will hold 3,500 fans again for Raptor home games beginning on March 19th against the Jazz. Blake Griffin, officially a Brooklyn Net. 6-time All-Star agreeing to a $1.2 million deal with the Nets for the remainder of the season as the rich get richer. And in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays announced the new manager of the Buffalo Bisons will be Casey Kandel. Kandel joined the Jays organization in 2018 as a manager of the Dunedin Jays with the big league coaching stints in Seattle and Texas prior to that. So as I mentioned off the opening of the show, we usually have two co-hosts for each show, at least to start. Then I imagine most folks will just get remarkably sick of having to babysit me. But our second co-host of the day is one of my favorites in the building. She is not only talented and works on a variety of things, including Raptors broadcasts, but she has had my respect for a long time. And I think I told her this in front of the Tim Hortons here in the building when Sportsnet bought The Score and turned it into Sportsnet 360. Danielle was one of the voices that you heard on The Score in Sportsnet 360. Do you remember this conversation at all?
I do.
In the early days, and you cannot fake it in that role. You can't just read a script or a teleprompter. This young woman did it the hard way. She has earned everything she has. So please, help me welcome Danielle to my show, everybody.
DJ wasn't kidding. Like, I'm nervous. I'm a little sweaty. I'm flattered that
Mom
this
spaghetti?
Is. Yeah, that this is. I'm a friend. That is what I'm pumped about.
Right.
I've been asked this question over the last couple of weeks. Are you a friend? I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, are you one of Tim's friends? I'm like, well, I hope so, but I don't know what level status of friend I needed to be to potentially be here. I'm here on opening day. I'm hashtag blessed. I'm coming in with Nurse fighting Lucic energy. Like, I think going above my weight class a little here, but I'm coming in hot. I'm coming in strong. Okay,
Timmy? I don't think it's above your weight class. And truth, for those who used to watch The Score back in the day and Sportsnet 360, if you survived what we called the wheel, you're real.
It's no joke. And you're cutting and writing. When I say cutting, you're watching multiple games at a time. You've got Tim and that former guy he used to do business with in your ear looking for scripts every 10 minutes from 6 different games. I remember walking in being completely overwhelmed. So I felt like, yes, if I could survive those days of The Score, which were the golden days, that was some of the hardest I've worked, but the most fun that I've ever had.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I loved that place very much. Even on the days when you'd leave the cottage on a Saturday where all your friends were hanging out to hit The Score to watch a game that really was probably not that great in the end.
King and Peter, downtown Toronto, yeah. Right in the club district. You'd walk out at around 3 a.m. All the drunk people would be stumbling home. This is what you missed tonight. And back when I had hair, long, luxurious, Jesse-like hair,
yes,
I would partake in those kind of things.
Correct.
And I used to hate it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really did. I think I beelined right past all of those people. That was a terrifying walk home some nights. It was a little too... The energy
Understood.
Was... The energy was hectic, to say the least. But
Understood.
In terms of the conversation at Tim Hortons here,
yes.
I do remember, and I think some of the most exclusive convos probably happen at that little Tim Hortons spot.
Without a doubt.
Right? That's where all the magic happens.
Well, let's keep the convo going.
Yes.
Anything from the news jump out at you? And I know that we're going to have Mark Scheifele on. I don't think we have time to play the analytics clip.
It's juicy.
It is juicy. But I think a lot of people have already seen it. What was your reaction to him saying, I don't really listen to that stuff?
Well, I sit beside Ken Reed on a fairly regular basis, and Ken is not an analytics guy either, if you didn't know
I've heard.
Yes, and I can appreciate what Shifley's saying, I think, because he's got such an IQ for the game as it is, right? Like, Shifley is one of the smarter players within the league in terms of understanding the game at a deeper level. I think he really tries to do that. He puts a lot of work into understanding those numbers that the analytics say, but I think he also knows that there's something to be said about what happens on the ice on a game-to-game basis, right? And that the effort that goes behind things, the type of play that you're getting from certain players, even if the numbers don't match up. And you look at a time when, you know, his coach, Paul Maurice, was defending someone like his teammate Blake Wheeler, who was a minus 11 on the sheet, but you're going, no. Look what he's providing here. So sometimes those don't tell the whole story, and I feel like that's what Scheifele was trying to identify.
Right, and what you're asked to do.
Yeah.
And all the variables. Like, sometimes you're asked to be something that you're not, but you will work towards that end so that the team benefits.
For sure.
And sometimes I wonder that numbers can't quantify that.
They can't. And I also need to know if hogwash is in Shifley's day-to-day vocab.
Nice.
Because I'm a bit of a grandma. I have some weird words. I like to say bonkers, which DJ just rips me to shreds for.
Yeah.
Hogwash is
like that.
It's right in there.
He's KW, though. He's Kitchener-Waterloo. Yeah. So maybe there were some hogs around. I want to see the pucks in deep analytics from Ken Reed one day.
Oh, my goodness.
That will be my day when I see that. All right. We got to take a quick break.
All right.
Coming up next on Tim and Friends, he is among the very best in the league with the stats to show for it, even if he doesn't really believe in all those stats. Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets joins me and Danielle Michaud. It's Tim McAuliffe and Friends of the Show, or for the kids, Tim and Friends, and it continues next.
Mark Scheifele's become a superstar in the National Hockey League. Jets center, Scheifele shoots, he scores! What a shot!
Well, this is a great shot by Mark Scheifele.
He is such a visionary type player where he can see things before they happen.
Scheifele dances his way in, Scheifele scores!
What a goal by number 55.
Mark Scheifele just keeps the point totals climbing. Connor to work. Scheifele scores!
This is just something else.
Scheifele might be playing his most dangerous hockey that I've seen in quite some time.
Joining us now on the Tim and Friends Maiden Voyage is a guy who's establishing himself as one of the best players in the league. Top five in scoring right now. Does it on both ends of the ice. Sid and I always say, Mark, that joining us after a win is easy, but doing it after a tough loss isn't always expected, but it is appreciated. So thank you very much for doing this.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, and being the douchebag that I am sometimes, I guess I've got to bring up the tough loss on Saturday. How do you handle something like a 7-1 loss? I know you're big on watching tape. Are you the guy that wants to go watch the tape, or do you flush that thing like I did, Sid?
I think you kind of do a little bit of both. You watch a few things that maybe, you know, you weren't sharp on or whatever. So, you know, you watch a few things and then you kind of, you know, leave it after you watch the tape over, you leave it there and move on to the next one. We had a great practice today in Toronto and, you know, we moved on from that one and now we're focused on Toronto.
Mark, there's been a lot of back and forth on this baseball-style schedule that you guys now play in. Do you feel like there's an advantage to the fact that you play a team a couple of times in a row when you do look at film and you can make those quick on-the-fly adjustments?
Yeah, it definitely feels a little more like, you know, playoffs in that sense. So you're able to tweak some things. You know, there's adjustments to be made. And it's kind of that playoff style where, the one team that wins, the other team kind of tweaks their game and hopefully, changes some things up to have success in the next one. And then it's kind of that, each team is trying to kind of play that card. So, we're excited to play against the Leafs. You know, there are going to be three good games. And, I've enjoyed it for sure.
All right, so three in a row, we understand. We've seen it before. It's the three-game set like we're playing baseball here. But 9 of 25 against the same team, like it seems like, and maybe I'm just seeing this because I like watching fights every once in a while, but the kids seem to be dropping the gloves a little bit more of late. Are you starting to get sick of seeing the same six teams?
There's definitely times you'd love to see a different team, but I've really enjoyed playing against Canadian teams. It's been, it's been exciting. I've caught myself watching a lot more, the North Division, opposed to the rest of the league. But, there's just a lot of exciting games, a lot of high powered scoring on, pretty much every team. So, they've been fun to watch. And, and you're seeing so many teams so often, it definitely helps to, get a sense of what teams are doing, how teams have done, as of late or whatever. So, I've actually really enjoyed it.
It definitely gives you a measuring stick, Mark, for where you land in the Scotia North Division quite quickly. But do you watch games in the rest of the league? Like you mentioned, you watch a lot of this, but do you watch other teams? And do you have an idea of how you may stack up against those teams come playoff time?
Yeah, I definitely still pay attention. I still watch. But it's definitely tough when you don't even get to see them once during the year. It will be very interesting come playoff time where, teams haven't seen a team all year. So, I think that feeling out process, that first game is going to be crucial. So, everything this year has been, kind of just rolling the punches and see how things go. So I'm sure it's going to be the exact same thing come playoffs.
Mark Scheifele joining us here on Tim and Friends. I hear folks say, not me, other folks, but they say you're a hockey nerd. I wouldn't use that. Maybe hockey guy through and through, that you live for the game. What do you think they're trying to describe when they say that about you?
I think it's just that I love hockey. I love going to the rink. I love watching, watching hockey games. I love watching my own tape. I love, everything that has to do with hockey, is up my alley. So I think that's kind of what they're getting at. But, I think, the biggest thing that I enjoy is getting on the ice, getting to work on my game, getting to do all that stuff. I find that stuff, so addicting to try to work on your game and fix things or work on things that are going well. And I think that's what makes hockey such a great game.
All right. I take the broadcasting game the same way. Like I got books of notes in this bag beside the desk right now. I watch old Johnny Carson clips on YouTube. That's my game tape. On the weekend, I stole a line while watching Dave, and it ended up being Little Dicky in my open. I wrote it down in the book. What are the one or two things that you do that the average fan or even some guys who play in the league look at you and go, like, what is this dude doing? Are there any of those?
I don't know. I think maybe, the amount of hockey I watch, I can't really get enough of it, especially when there's good hockey games on. I could just flip through, all night. I could watch from, dinner time until I go to bed, of hockey games. And, with so many games on every single night and, the way the schedules work, it makes it easy. So you can turn on a game on, especially in Winnipeg, you turn on a game on 6 and then you got another game on at 8 and then you got another game on at 10. So right. Pretty much got hockey, all day long. So that makes it fun. But, I think, the biggest thing is the whole day is kind of revolving around, being ready for the next game or the next practice or, recovering. I think that's a thing that, a lot of people don't see, us as athletes as doing. It's pretty much, you have to get the right amount of sleep to be ready for the next game. You have to eat the right things. You have to have the right supplements. You have to, do all your recovery things, your treatment, your, rehab on little, bumps and bruises and stuff like that. So I think that's the thing that the average person wouldn't understand how much effort we put into it, but that's just, kind of the way it is. It's fun. It's fun doing that. And it's fun being, taking care of your body, and I enjoy that. So, that's probably the one thing.
So this question is very selfishly just for me personally, because I want to understand myself as best I can. I'm not a professional athlete, but I recently got a Whoop and now I'm studying my sleep and trying to understand how to be the best that I can be. What little change have you made in your hockey career over the past few years, Mark, that has been a game changer for you?
I got a whoop. Too.
Oh, whoop life. Yes. my strain is low today, Mark, because I was, you know, the stress is high preparing for this debut with Timmy. So, yeah.
You know, I think there's always little things that I add, you know, whether it's just, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of trial and error. You know, whether it's your workouts, whether it's your food, whether it's the amount that you skate, you know, supplements you take, all that stuff, I think is a lot of trial and error where, you know, you find things that you like, you find, you know, the right amount of sleep that you like, you know, night before a game, what you like eating before a game, that whole stuff. And then, you know, I think there's a little bit of, you know, changing things up every once in a while. Your body sometimes I think gets a little stale doing the same thing over and over. So you have to, you know, go to the rink every single day with a purpose. And I think that's something that I've learned, you know, over the last few years, especially this last year, is, you know, every day there's got to be a purpose. Every day there has to be, you know, a plan set to work on and work on your game and work on your body. And I think, you know, that just that intention every single day has been big for me.
Mark Scheifele on Tim and Friends here on Sportsnet. Are you surprised how much attention your comments about analytics got?
Honestly, I didn't really pay much attention to it. It was a game day, so I was right. I was getting ready for a nap anyway. But I know it. I know analytics are so prevalent nowadays. You know, especially amongst the media, amongst fans, whatever it is, even on teams. But you know, I was just speaking my opinion. No, I'm not a big fan of them. I enjoy watching the games. I could watch games over and over. I can, you know, nitpick, you know, little things like that. And I don't need, you know, the little analytics, the numbers to tell me different. I can form my own opinion. And, you know, it was just me kind of speaking my mind about it. And, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion. Everyone else is entitled to theirs. So,
well, it is, you know, 2021. People don't like that, eh? They don't like people having their own opinion.
How dare you?
I think I mentioned this to you before, but you and my old man have something in common. You both played for the Kitchener-Waterloo Dutchmen about 60 years apart, but you both played there. He's a numbers guy, and we were talking about analytics, and he said there's way too many variances. Like, there's too many factors that play in who you play with, what their strengths are, who's on the ice, why they're on the ice, who you're playing against, why they're on the ice. Do you feel like all this stuff can clog your brain as you're making split-second decisions on maybe the fastest game on planet Earth outside Hialeah? Or do you just think that people are over-explaining something and can't understand it unless they're on the ice?
Well, that's what I think it is. I think, you know, even the little minute spin of the puck changes things.
Right.
You know, the amount of spin every time a rim puck gets rimmed around, how much spins on that puck and how much you have to, you know, control it. And, you know, a guy can be closing on you at so many different amounts of speed that I think that's why analytics, you know, don't come into play. It's just because there's so many, exactly, that there's so many different variables that can happen on every single play. And there's no, the only reset is a face-off, and it goes back to so many variables again. Right. So I think that's why I'd rather watch a game and I can tell, you know, certain reads that guys are making, if they're good or bad, you know, certain plays that guys are making, you know, under duress, or is it totally, you know, on the outside opposed to, you know, being on the inside of guys. So, you know, those things all make a difference. So I think that's kind of my reasoning behind, you know, why I don't like analytics is because, you know, I understand how tough it is and how fast it is and how quick of a decision you have to make. And as soon as there's, you know, if you're unsure about a play, that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes it hard to, you know, quantify a good read or a bad read.
Numbers aside, you're clearly, the Winnipeg Jets are really starting to mesh right now. You guys look really solid. What has been the main catalyst, do you think, for that right now?
You know, we got a lot of good players. you know, I think, you know, through and through the lineup, we have a lot of guys that can play with each other. You know, guys can be, you know, interchangeable. You know, obviously we have an unbelievable goaltender in Connor Hellebuck. And, you know, we've added some new faces, you know, adding Derek Forbert, who's been amazing for us. You know, Nate Thompson, Trevor Lewis, obviously, you know, getting, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois. You know, we have a lot of, you know, a lot of new faces that have really, really meshed really well with our team and the way that our team is designed and how, you know, how guys think. And I think that's been the biggest thing. We have a lot of character guys. You know, when you get a guy like Nate Thompson, you get a guy like Trevor Lewis, who, you know, have been through, you know, have experienced so much, and you have those guys added to your room, it brings so much more character and experience to it. And I think, you know, that helps, especially when you have young guys as well.
Listen, Mark, again, easy to join us after the win, tougher after the losses. We really appreciate you doing this, especially on day one of the show. Best of luck the rest of the way in this little three-game set against Toronto.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
There is Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him about hogwash.
We forgot the hogwash question.
Kitchener-Waterloo peeps, is hogwash a word in your daily vocab? Because I just got a real kick out of that.
Maybe we can ask PR. Yeah. To ask him,
I need to
if he normally uses the term hogwash.
I can't say I've heard it in a long time, so yeah, maybe he does.
It's an interesting story, the Winnipeg Jets. 9 of these last 25, 9 of 25 coming against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll see if they can hold that ground where they are, and the Edmonton Oilers coming pretty hard right now at the Jets.
Well, it'll certainly make the Scotia North Division one way or the other. It's either going to be the Leafs way far and away up at the top, or create some parity going into the... Mm. Good stuff.
Without a doubt. All right. Time now for Hockey Central on Sportsnet with Carolyn Cameron, Colby Armstrong, and Jennifer Botterill. As for us, we're going to take the quick 60-second break. Right back at you. Continue on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan for the final half hour on this, the debut of Tim and Friends. Welcome back to Tim and Friends. As my daughter reminded everybody, it is International Women's Day, and we are celebrating it here on Sportsnet. Tomorrow on Tim and Friends, we'll have a roundtable discussion on women's hockey and the issues that they are facing, featuring Natalie Spooner, Jennifer Botterill, and Cassie Campbell-Pascal. Speaking of Cassie, she was the voice on the Hockey Night in Canada opening tees on Saturday night about what it is to chase a dream with a little help, even when some thought the dream wasn't for you.
It was something we got used to hearing. Girls shouldn't play hockey. Women don't belong in the game. It was never easy, but it gave us the motivation we needed to take the game of hockey to new levels so that anyone could play. Those negative words have always fueled us. Those words combined with our passion helped to build associations and leagues so that all females had a place to play where they could be accepted. Whether it was playing with girls, boys, or men, we just wanted to play at the highest level we could. Just play is all we ever wanted. The negative words can be harsh, but they never stopped us from scoring the big goals. They never stopped us from pushing the limits in areas of the game that aren't used to seeing women. The respect we get from those who know the game helped to push us forward. In fact, there are men who have believed in us all along, and without them, we wouldn't be where we are today. Great coaches, great builders, great volunteers, and great players have all helped us to get where we are. It's never just been about national teams. There are some teams, though, who knew what a real struggle was and played through such adversity that most people would have quit. There is a group of women who have put their own careers on hold and stuck together to fight for a true professional women's league. We have always dared to be great and hoped that our love of the game would open doors for those that come after us. When they try to bring us down, we skate faster. We listen more intently, and we speak with more ease. We know our fight is real and worth the efforts. We have legends that have lifted our sport and their nations with it. Leaders who have shown us time and time again that being knocked down doesn't mean a thing. And they've understood the easy task of leading a group of leaders. We are not disruptors. We are not just trying to challenge the system. We are believers in who we are and where we want to go. It has been amazing to watch us grow together. We don't just try, we do. As we come together to celebrate International Women's Day, thank you to all the women who have helped to pave our path. And here's to the next generation of young girls who have the chance to play and take part in the greatest game on earth.
Awesome, Cassie Campbell-Pascal and Michelle Mathot, who put that together.
Yeah.
I get stuck in this and I shouldn't do it and I know it, and Sid always used to scold me for doing it.
He doesn't matter anymore, so please.
All right, awesome.
The floor is yours.
I would read some of the replies because I like to get an idea of what people are thinking.
Yeah.
And the one that bugs me the most about the women in hockey conversation that takes place online is that, well, if there was an audience, right, then it would be there. Have you not watched every 4 years? There is an audience, and what we need to work towards is the other 3 years. How do you capture that very same audience that had Sid, myself, and DJ in a radio booth chucking pens and saying hashtag gold medal in your face?
Because when we talk about the PWHPA,
yes,
and that league that is currently happening, the Secret Dream Gap Tour, those are the same players,
right,
that you watch in the Olympics.
Right.
They are the best women hockey players in the world, putting their talents on display. And you're not, I don't understand where that misconception comes from, as though it's like a different group that just appear for the Olympics out of thin air.
Right.
No, these women train year round. They play for professional organizations throughout the world, along with all the other things that they have to do in their lives. And that's what I think when you listen to Cassie is, how can we make this? This is their profession, their only profession, and their only, their focus, right? This should be their total focus at all times because they are the best of the best. They should earn their wage the same way that men do in the NHL.
Right.
And I think the support of the NHL should be welcomed, and they clearly have. We talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs extending their hand to the new league. I love that here in Tim and Friends, the shirt is hung up back there because you're an ally, Timmy, and that matters, right? That makes a difference.
That's my sweater.
Yeah, it is. I know. I feel like it looks like you've worn it plenty.
Kind of stank.
Got a little wrinkle kind of thing happening. Yep. It's gotten a lot of wear. But it that matters. That makes a difference. And they talked about how, I heard Jennifer Botterill talking about how people just wearing the gear brings another conversation, right? It's something as simple as that. It's the WNBA hoodie that DJ's rocking.
Right.
Get people's eyeballs on the product and they'll watch because the product is good.
Right. But DJ said he had a Kinect. I don't know if you heard this.
No.
I bought that with my own hard-earned cash.
Correct.
I went online, paid cash for that, homie. Actually, I didn't pay cash. I guess I would have
paid. You definitely didn't pay cash.
Nobody pays with cash anymore.
No.
I was a cash dude before all this.
I'm not at all.
And now I am so remarkably broken that it is no longer cash.
It's gone. It's over, especially post-COVID world. Like, no one wants your loonies and toonies out of your pocket.
I heard.
Sorry.
Speaking of International Women's Day,
yes.
I know you had a really interesting conversation with Stephanie McMahon of the WWE.
I did. And when I think about International Women's Day, everything that it embodies, how do you make a better example than Stephanie McMahon? You don't even need to be a wrestling fan to understand the weight the name carries. And she's taken the sport to a whole new level, particularly when it comes to elevating women. The days of being stuck in roles as the love interest or eye candy, those are long gone. Women taking center stage as the main event. So here's a peek at part two of my chat with Steph on her challenge to make equality a priority.
The way we portrayed women definitely changed. You know, our women went from being nice to have to need to have. They went from being sort of the manager, secondary, tertiary role to being the main event. They are athletes. They have strong bodies, strong minds, strong personalities, and they're not afraid to stand up for what they believe in. And that's both on screen and off screen.
You know, it's interesting because, like, I don't know if there was anyone with a steeper hill to climb when it came to gender equity in maybe the NFL. But
yes.
Stephanie McMahon, I mean, they used to have bras and panty matches.
Correct.
And now, they're not completely there, but the hill that they've had to climb, do you feel like she's making the strides?
Yes. Yeah. She's making the difference. I was blown away to read that in a year of 2020 of immense problems for any business and any sport. We saw all the major sports have to shut down. Stephanie McMahon not only managed to keep them open safely and still keeping wrestling in the fold, but she was named by Forbes as the second most influential CMO in the world. Think about that for a second. The chief marketing officer of wrestling is the second most influential, and that's because they've won awards for diversity. She's managed to get WrestleMania to be a main event featuring two women, and it's not out of the norm to have tag team matches and Royal Rumbles all featuring women. It doesn't feel like you have to point it out every time because now that's the norm there, right?
Right.
She's set a precedent now that women are at the same tier as the men in wrestling. They can be showcased the same way. They are also superstars. And I think that's a thing with International Women's Day for me, is this day is great, but I want us celebrated every single day. And I find myself telling that to a lot of my female colleagues.
Right.
It's great that we can showcase the stories. I think that is what I love about it. But yeah. Can women not just be, you know, we have Cassie on the call and Jen on the call and Sarah Nurse came in for an intermission thing. Like, that should be the norm, because right. they are knowledgeable and they are experienced and they're good at their job. So once it becomes the norm, like in wrestling, I think we're laughing. They're doing a great job.
When you come to Tim and Friends, Danielle Michaud,
yes.
You get answers even if you didn't ask the question on air.
Really?
After we finished our interview with Mark Scheifele, mm-hmm. you said you wanted to ask if hogwash was part of his everyday vocabulary.
Yeah.
We got a text response
wow.
from Mr.
Coming
Scheifele.
Through.
I think that's a term from my dad. He always says funny things like that.
Yeah.
And I know, at least if I'm not mistaken, Pops may have played some college football for the University of Guelph and then stayed in that area, KW Guelph.
I'm also a Guelph alumni, so I can appreciate the hogwash. Oh. I am a Griffin myself.
Isn't that an agriculture school as well? So hogwash actually fits.
It fits the bill in this one. And I also appreciate that it came from his dad, because I think of all the weird... Like, my dad likes to say he doesn't give a rat's tookus about that.
Tookus?
Like,
what is does he say tookus, tookus or does he say ass?
Tookus. No, he says tookus.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, these
goodness.
Are the weird things yeah. that get passed down, you know?
Understood.
Know.
All
rush.
Right. My favorite is Donnybrook. Old
yeah,
school, we go Donnybrook. Time for one last break. This Donnybrook continues with Last Call, where we will discuss Amanda Nunes, Corey Connors, and more. The show is called Tim and Friends. For now. Come on. Welcome back. We are just about done here on the debut
what?
Episode of Tim and Friends.
Already?
Yes. Thank you, Danielle, for being here. Donovan Bennett, who joined me in the first hour. By the way, Maddie Morgan, who is a digital connoisseur here at Tim and Sid, is from the Guelph area, says, $5 in the jar.
Wow.
He was here for Tim
we
and Sid.
We were getting so close.
I know. I'm like 15
end.
Minutes away from it.
Ugh.
He says a lot of hogwash being tossed around in Guelph.
Yeah.
As a Guelph dude.
There you go. Hogwash.
Hogwash it is. We got a few minutes, so let's check back in with Jesse Rubinoff for some tweets and last call. Jesse, what's
yeah.
going on?
Well, I have some more hogwash follow-up nice. For us
Perfect.
As well in the Twitter sphere. So why don't we check that out? Ian says 100% hard no on the hogwash.
Seems harsh.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's aggressive. It's an aggressive tweet. It's okay. We'll move on. And particularly to mentioning Danielle here, KW born and bred, hogwash only whipped out for special occasions.
Nice.
Yeah, see, that's why I felt like Mark was really trying to make a point.
Yeah. What about Bonkers? No, we need to know Bonkers, because
yeah,
that was the
that's
one
my
we talked
specialty.
About, right?
Wasn't there a candy named Bonkers?
Is there?
It's
don't
like
remember
a Fruitella
that.
Are you aging
candy
yourself?
Called Bonkers. Oh, it was
yeah,
good.
Bonkers.
Yeah, I'm 45. Come after me.
I'm a man.
I'm okay with it.
45. We know it. So yeah, Bonkers is also. Out?
Yeah.
Not out?
No,
not
well, Bonkers is fine, I think, for you. It's your word, okay. So we're going to let you keep it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just I'm a grandma at heart. I like to mix
so
those
nice
in.
Of you, Jesse.
I know Danielle, and I know the yeah. words that she uses, so it's all good. We'll keep Bonkers.
It's
true. Do you produce her? Jesse produces on Central. Do you produce Danielle?
I have before, yes. Right.
I
have, definitely.
It has happened. We've done shows.
I've anchored with her
yeah.
as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. That's Bonkers.
That is. Did you set that whole thing up there?
No, I didn't.
All right.
Didn't.
Want to get into a little bit of Last Call?
Let's do it.
Let's
I like
do it.
It.
Okay.
Right.
So, a controversial finish to UFC 259 on Saturday as Aljamain Sterling became the bantamweight champ after Peter Yan was disqualified for a very illegal knee.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we got to talk Amanda Nunes. Needed just over 2 minutes to submit Megan Anderson and retain her featherweight title. Nunes remains just the fourth fighter in UFC history to hold a title in two different weight divisions at the same time. Timmy, does she belong in the MMA GOAT conversation?
You know what? She belongs in the GOAT of all GOATs conversation.
Wow.
We had this when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like Simone Biles. I was trying to go outside the normal boxes that we put around the goat of goats and who they are. And Serena's, it's LeBron, MJ. Yeah. Serena is definitely in that conversation, if not at the top of that conversation. But does Amanda Nunes not deserve to be there? I mean, that was, it was almost comical what she did in the octagon this weekend. Like, it was, there was absolutely no shot she was losing.
But it seems like it's comical every time she's
every time,
to
yeah.
The octagon now. But she doesn't lose.
And for me, it's most impressive that she can go to different weights and still be this dominant, right? Because that can't be easy at all.
No.
You're completely changing your game plan. She was fast. She was electric. I don't know. She's incredible.
She does what Usain Bolt did, which is why I call Bolt the goat of goats. Yeah. Completely dominating the field where it's not even close.
You know she's going to win, and she walks in there and takes care of business.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Speaking of the greatest of all time, today marks the 50th anniversary of the fight of the century between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier at Madison Square Garden. That was March 8th, 1971. Frazier won by unanimous decision, handing Ali his first loss. It's widely regarded as the biggest boxing match in history and arguably the most hyped sporting event ever. Danielle, what modern-day sports moment do you think we'll still be talking about in 50 years? A lot to choose from, but if you can narrow it down.
I can promise you in Toronto and in Canada, we will talk about Kawhi Leonard's Game 7 shot forever.
The blue tongue.
But the moment that I thought of right away that I know, Jesse, you will appreciate immensely, Tiger Woods winning the Masters. How can you ever top that in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, the story.
I cried.
The moments he did.
Throwing it out there.
He did. But can you not just...
I wasn't listening at all because it's breaking news. What were you talking about made you cry
just
that
Tiger
I'm being
Woods
a douchebag?
Tiger Woods winning the Masters in 2019. It wasn't a big deal.
Right. Tiger Woods coming back and making my prophecy correct and paying off one of my greatest... But yes. 50, injured Tiger Woods, especially now when we look back at it, be without a doubt... It'll feel like Jack's late Masters win.
Those scenes, right?
Coming
over the hill with the fans.
He hugged his dad when he won in 97, and then he goes and hugs his kids immediately walking off 18.
Right.
It doesn't get better than that.
He's going to cry again, so we should probably move on.
Camera off, please.
Would you like to hear the breaking news I was ignoring your very sentimental Tiger Woods story about?
Yes, tell us.
Adam Schefter on Twitter, among those saying that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have a deal.
Oh, okay.
So after much consternation and putting off this deal last year only to have Prescott play at an MVP type pace, and I say that because I bet Dak Prescott at the start of the year to win the MVP and was remarkably pissed. It's not about me, I'm sorry. I was remarkably pissed when he got hurt. And Jerry Jones, who I believe has ruined this franchise by doing the things that he does to keep them in the news, kept them in the news with this Dak Prescott not signing. And I know Prescott turned down a lot of money. They have come to terms on a deal. And it almost felt like when he went down last year, this was going to happen without a doubt. Agree or disagree, both of you, I'll throw it out there.
It had to happen, right? Why would you want to part ways with a quarterback like Dak?
Especially when you lost him and what they did last year without him. Like, I don't know if you remember, but... it probably
was. You got it?
Oh, it tastes like a fart. Like, that's basically what they got to. Sid still lives on the show on the soundboard.
This is true. Also, I was going to say, it's too bad Tim and Friends doesn't have a bat phone where I can call DJ because he might be lingering outside.
My goodness.
He would have a lot to say about Dak
re-signing.
Yeah, he's a Boys fan. But Jerry Jones is greasy. I think this shouldn't have taken this long to get to this point. This was where we expected it to be. But do you think that's wrecked the relationship a little bit? Is there any sort of mistrust? I don't know if mistrust is the right word, but does Dak... Dak knows what he can do and what he's capable of, but that relationship between him and Jerry Jones can't be great.
No, I don't think so either. And you'd have to probably... I mean, it took this time and maybe even a little early for me because you have to see if Dak's okay.
Yeah.
But if Jones doesn't sign him, he looks like a bigger douchebag than the guy who had the draft from his yacht looking like he was in some sort of space mobile.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting about this Dak deal, because Dak had said that he wanted to get paid just under what Patrick Mahomes makes. So you are assuming now, we don't know the terms of the deal yet, but you're assuming now that Dak's going to be getting a ton of money from the Cowboys and coming off of surgery. Timmy, like you said, it's a pretty significant injury, so it's going to be very interesting to see how Dak responds, but they're putting their faith in him moving forward. partly because he's really good, but partly because there just aren't that many great quarterbacks in the NFL, and you'd have to draft one. And I don't think with Dak Prescott sitting on your roster now, they're willing to do that.
Arash Madani and Chris Carter are joining tomorrow. So we've got Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter.
Beautiful.
And my Hall of Famer, Arash Madani, joining tomorrow. So we will have a football-heavy cast here on Tim and Friends with those two joining the fray, along with a lovely round table, which we will assemble as well. Do you have anything else for us, Jesse, before I move on to the rest of this and the tip of the caps?
I do have one more.
Okay.
I think it's worthy. Grady says, Tim, if you keep having two friends a show, you'll run out of friends before Thursday.
Oh.
And Grady is always free.
Wow.
That's it for me today.
That is... Yeah, I guess I should have clarified. Like, will I be here Thursday again or
I don't know.
Friday?
Can I impose a law on Jesse that they have to have an avatar for you to read?
That's okay. Moving forward, we'll make that. We'll do that.
Before we say goodbye every Monday, we're going to offer a couple of tips of the cap. A couple of things that need to be acknowledged from the weekend that was in the world of sports. And we start with Canada's Coach K for coaching his last game after 46 years at St. Effects and Andy Ganesh. 46 years.
What a beauty.
Not only an incredible run, but the school and the event that convinced me we need to pay way more attention to college basketball in our own country. Year was 2000. X won his second national championship. I was covering my first national championship, and the scenes and the atmosphere in Halifax were something I had only seen in U.S. college basketball to that point. And I realized we could have it here. It's too bad more people don't see it that way. But I see what you have built, Coach K, Steve Konchalski, and congrats on a great 46-year career at Andy Ganesh.
Those scenes are epic. Yeah. I want to give my tip of the cap to Raptors 905 assistant coach Brittany Donaldson, because her post on International Women's Day echoed everything I feel. We don't want a day, we want a say. She goes on to describe what equal opportunity currently means, especially for women in a sports landscape, and there's nothing equal about it. So in recognizing this, refuse to be a silent bystander. Stand up for the women in your life. And as Brittany says, continue to bet on us, because this shouldn't be such a big deal, Timmy. As I said, equality should be the norm. Women can and will succeed everywhere. So thank you to all the amazing women who've proven that already.
Yeah, I learned that, girl dad.
Girl dad.
Took it a step further, you know what I'm saying?
That's it.
And finally, a tip of the cap, and maybe more, to a pair of legends on the Canadian sports landscape. Walter Gretzky and Chris Schultz might not have been more different when it comes to size or stature, or even how and why we were forced to say goodbye to them this weekend. But there was a running theme in both stories that needs to be acknowledged. They were both really good human beings. I'm not going to try and eulogize either. It was done so well this weekend by those closest to them. But what stuck out most to me was what's worth pointing out here. And that is, in story after story about Wally and Schultze, it was about just how good they were and how many lives they were able to touch by simply being thoughtful and gracious. And I don't say that lightly or offer the compliment up with ease. It was John Wooden who once said, "The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching." Countless stories recounted over the weekend showed exactly that. And while Chris Schultz and Walter Gretzky may have been different sizes, they were both giants to so many. Diego,
I was on the Sportsnet Central desk when Walter Gretzky passed, and that my big takeaway was as well, we all can only hope to leave a legacy and an impact on the people that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, ones you know well, ones you don't, complete strangers.
Right.
Walter Gretzky, just such a beautiful man, and it's sad with both him and Schultz, but at least their lives had so much meaning, right? Which is what we all hope for.
When you're gone, that's how we'll be remembered, and you want to be remembered like that. All right, well, that does it for show number one here on Tim and Friends. Want to thank Donovan Bennett, Doris Burke, Danielle Michaud, Mark Scheifele and his hogwash, and of course you. Because you could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with me, and I appreciate that. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Tim and Friends. $5 already in the
Oh, at least 10 now. 10?